Hey everybody, welcome to the Hard Time Strongman Podcast. This is Six. I'm here with Seven today. We are coming to you with basic car maintenance and inspection. And I am going to dedicate this episode by request to my wife, who loves to foster the habit of figuring out something's wrong with her car, not knowing exactly what, and then not telling me for like 2+ weeks until I either figure it out on my own or she just, you know, casually slips it into conversation. Like, oh, hey, my tire needs air. Oh, yeah? How long has it been going on? Oh, like 3 weeks. What's the pressure at? Like 15? What's it supposed to be at? Like 40?
You know what? It's your fault for not liking surprises. If you think about it,
I can specifically
no matter what I do, I can't get the tire pressure up to 100%. What am I doing wrong?
Oh my God. I've seen that video and that's just insane. So to be fair, there was one instance where she did tell me that her tire needed air and I'm like, okay, that's fine. I went out and checked it. I'm like, okay, it's got like 20 PSI. I'll take it to, you know, the local Wawa and air it up tomorrow morning, and then let you take it to work. Well, dude, I got up the next morning and the tire pressure was at 1. So I very carefully drove it to the local gas station, paid to put a little bit of air into it. It still wasn't enough, but it was enough to get me to Wawa, and I went and, because they have those ones where you can actually set it to a PSI, put it on there, and just let it do its thing. So I got it to the Wawa, aired it up. It took me like half an hour, and I realized there was a screw in it.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, ah, crap. Cool. Problem is, she's got a Mercedes, and the ratchet, I don't know why I'm blanking on this, but like my ratchet heads will not fit in the holes so I can get at her lug nuts. Like they just don't fit for whatever reason. So we have to take it to a dealership. I don't know. I don't think so.
Dumb.
I don't know what's going on with it, but I cannot fit them in there. So we have to take it to a repair shop that specializes in European automotives. And it's just like, dude.
Japan.
Yeah. And of course, you know, there's been other random things. Cause I mean, it's a almost 10-year-old car. I get it. Mine's an 08. So, you know, obviously I've been working on cars since I was 16. I do know my fair share of things. Routine maintenance, not a problem. I can change oil, but when you have proprietary crap or when you have European automotive stuff that requires specialized oil, specialized tools, specialized everything, it is a pain and a half. So the whole thing of what we're going to be doing today is teaching you, or at least instilling in you, the idea of, hey, I should probably, I don't know, look at my car before I get into it so that I'm not surprised if I get into it and the check engine light comes on. Sometimes you can't avoid that. It may be an internal thing that you just can't see. But I mean, if you take a moment and walk around and notice, oh, hey, I've got a red leak coming from underneath my car, or hey, I'm trickling green stuff, or hey, my tire's low.
You should
probably have an idea of what's going on.
You should know more about your car than just the fact that it's a car.
Correct. There are very basic things that you can do, very routine checks, very routine maintenance that you can do on your own that does not require you to take it into a dealership. I mean, changing your oil, topping off fluids, changing your windshield wipers. These are all very easy things that you can do on your own.
Rotate your tires.
Rotate your tires.
Lights, changing lights.
Batteries, lights, yes. Rotating tires, that's going to require some tools. I don't know if a lot of
have in your car.
Going to happen. You should. You should, but that doesn't mean you're going to.
You know what? This is a hell of a tangent. You know what I wish? I would pay money for a modern rendition of the box Jeeps, the Willys.
Oh, the Willys? Oh, dude.
I am so nostalgic for a car that you could build out of a box. Like,
we kind of have those. They're called Honda Civics.
Yeah, that's fair. But just like, or you know, like the old Jeeps, the old Cherokees, where you could literally take apart darn near everything.
Oh, yeah.
Just a Phillips screwdriver. Like, you know, planned obsolescence is a bane.
Oh, my God. Obsolescence. Our existence.
It kills me.
So,
but
that was the big problem I had, too, when I worked parts at Ford when I was younger. Was the obsolescence was ridiculous. You look at the amount of parts that they only kept around for so long. And so back then, and by back then, I mean like 60s, 70s, hell, even earlier than that, those parts were reused over and over and over and over again. And now some are, but most are not. I mean, I'm talking like if you need to mount a bumper, you cannot strip the brackets off of, say, a Fiesta and put them on an Expedition. Can't do it.
Well, even the same model, but like the year difference
year.
Mm-hmm. will change. That's the big thing. It's insane.
It is. It is.
And that's what they're trying to do, is where you have to take it in to get it worked on. You can't do anything yourself.
It's that money, bro. It's that money. Because you can't even claim, you're going to void your warranty. Mm-hmm.
We used to be a proper country.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But now it's all about the almighty dollar and how they can actually get it from you.
It's not even real dollars anymore. But
yeah, anyway. It's like 10 cents. Anyway. So. Regular car maintenance is incredibly important. I can't tell you. Did you ever watch the old show Home Improvement?
Of course.
With Tim Allen. Of course. I'm showing my age here, but I loved that show. And I never understood at the time why he got so mad at his wife when she told him that the check engine light had been on for like a week. Never understood it. And then I got into cars and realized that she was low on oil. I had been driving around with low to no oil for a week. Now, for those of you that don't know, your engine can and will seize up and cease to function. And that can go from like a $30 jug of oil to thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to replace the entire engine.
I'm going to say, I've blown up a car doing that.
Over such a simple thing. Especially when he's a tool guy, when he's an automotive guy, and he could have fixed that in like 20 minutes. If that. Changing your oil takes almost no time at all, especially on a cold car. On a cold car, it takes you 10 minutes.
Just takes know-how.
Just takes know-how. You're right. So, basically, the importance of car maintenance is it prevents... doing something easy now will prevent a massive headache and an empty wallet later on.
Well, a car is a machine.
Correct.
A car is a machine. If machines aren't properly taken care of, if they don't have regular maintenance, if they're not properly lubricated, fed, et cetera, they break.
Correct.
Your car is no different. It's not properly lubricated. If, you know, worn out parts aren't replaced, if you don't have inspections, if you don't do the things that you're supposed to do to take care of this machine, it will inevitably fail.
Right. And there are a lot, and like we said earlier, there are a lot of things that you can do on your own. But there's also some things that you can't. And that mainly comes down to really the equipment. Like, the average everyday person is not going to have the equipment to, say, balance tires. They're not going to have the equipment to, say, probably remove an engine so they can work on part of it.
Well, not just equipment, but facilities.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. You may live in an apartment. You don't have a garage.
The only way we were able to work on my Jeep when we were in was we had that that mechanic
shop. Oh, yeah.
Where mechanic shop. Essentially, they teach you safety around the shop, and then they lay you loose. And
yep. They have all the equipment.
Facilities, all that stuff. Tools. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
But if you were just hanging out in the parking lot, you couldn't do half the stuff you needed to.
Right.
You know, without that. Or unless you had a buddy.
Yeah. So, in this episode, we're going to get into routine checks, your seasonal maintenance, your scheduled maintenance, and some of the stuff you can DIY versus professional help. So let's get into it. Let's start off with the routine checks. You want to start off with fluids?
Engine oil, coolant, brake fluid, transmission fluid, windshield wiper fluid. So lots of fluids. Your engine oil. So depending on make, model, whatever, you know, oil that you use, you're looking to change between every 3,000 miles and 7,500 miles, depending on, you know, like we said, make, model, have oil. All this does, your engine oil keeps your engine lubricated and it prevents wear and tear. You have to think, like a rifle, like any machine where it's metal on metal, you need something in between that. It's like your joints. If you don't have the synovial fluid, mm-hmm. if you don't have oil between metal moving parts, it's going to break down. And then you're going to have catastrophic failures. Coolant. So checking your coolant level regularly to prevent the engine from overheating. This is, you know, have your rear, which is towards the front, towards the grill of your vehicle, is your green fluid. But you can top that off as needed or replace it according to the, you know, your manufacturer's schedule. We're going to say the manufacturer's recommended scheduling, recommended interval a lot on
this episode.
Because that's... Yeah. What you're going off of.
Right.
But coolant keeps your engine from overheating, which is really nice if you like not being stuck on the side of the road. Brake fluid. So ensure your brake fluid is at the correct level. Low fluid may indicate worn brake pads or leak in the system. Not great.
No, not great at all.
Forensic file episodes dedicated to that. Cut brake lines. But... Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And in this episode,
how do you know if it's brake fluid?
You'll know it's brake fluid if you step on the brakes and the pedal goes immediately to the floor with no resistance. Fair. Or little to no resistance. That's how you know it's... Or there's a screaming sound coming from your engine near the master cylinder from it working overtime. You'll feel the pumping. Like, you will physically feel the car, like,
automatic drivers, pray. Manual drivers, like, force the downshift.
Yes, force the downshift.
Force the downshift.
Air brake.
Also, engine brake. Also, why manual engines are superior.
Manual is superior in every way.
Transmission fluid. Jerry fluid. Jerry replaces the transmission fluid according to your vehicle's maintenance schedule. Hey, to ensure smooth gear shifts.
Yeah, unless you accidentally.
We want not go.
Yeah.
Generally.
Unless you accidentally take out the plug in your transmission, you're likely not going to have to ever really change it. I if you're doing scheduled maintenance, they'll take care of it. I mean, the only time I ever had to change my tranny fluid was when I messed up.
I've never had to touch that. However, it is important to know to pick up the, you know, take off the yellow cap, not the red cap. So
correct.
There you go. Correct.
And boys, the fun part is actually
at some point in the future, it's the yellow cap. That's the one I'm talking about, not the red one.
So the fun part was when I actually had to refill the transmission fluid in the Cobra. Guess how I did it?
How'd you do it?
So I did it inside of the car. I took off the gear shift. and went in that way. I went in through the gear shift. Dude, it was the easiest way.
Goodness.
We just threw it. We threw a new gasket on it. Screwed it back on.
Bro, that's crazy.
It fine. That's it was insane. Great. I did it while a car was actually off the ground, which is the crazy part.
Gosh. And windshield wiper fluid or windshield. No, not wiper fluid. Windshield washer fluid. Sorry, guys. You should have changed your wiper fluid as well. But windshield washer fluid. So this is going to be probably towards the front right of your vehicle, towards the radiator. So it's going to have, it's not going to be on the radiator. It's going to be to the side of it. It's going to be a big, big reservoir. And you're going to want to keep that full up to the fill line, which will be about 3/4 of the way up. It'll have a big line that says max fill. And you're going to want to keep that full, especially in cold weather, to prevent freezing.
Freezing is not good. So, especially on newer cars, I have noticed that the cap is actually yellow. And on it, it has the symbol of the front windshield with like three lines of dotted spray to indicate that it's
You know what? I just realized I'm an idiot. I said wiper fluid and washer. I just actually those are different. Same freaking thing.
They're the same things. I was letting you go with it.
Thanks so much for letting me sound like an idiot. Regardless.
I'll break you later. You got it.
When you do fill it though, it's too easy anymore to just to get the four season washer fluid. You know, there's different brands. I get the stuff from Rain-X, but all that does Rain-X. Is that it's four season, you know, designed for winter as well. But it also has that hydrophobic coating on there,
yes,
which gives you a little bit of help in rainy season.
It's been my experience that Rain-X is just, it's far superior to everything. You could cheap out. They have so much now. Rain-X.
So yeah. When I first learned about them, it was just the, the super like concentrated stuff. You put a few on a washcloth and then you do your windshield or whatever. They have a spray now. I haven't seen it. I just recently saw that, but they have the spray, they have the wiper fluid. I mean, they have all sorts of stuff. It's cool. And it's like magic. Like half the time when I have that on, they're like good and steady. I don't even need my wipers. It just beads off. It's crazy.
All right, let's get away from fluids. I'm going to talk about tires. Tires are a critical component. So they keep you in contact with the road surface, because Lord only knows if you
which is grip, important,
you are gonna slide. If you've ever been driving in the rain and then suddenly you slid to the side when you're trying to turn, well, number one, that's called hydroplaning, and number two, it's terrifying. You know, you could also be driving down the road in winter, hit a patch of ice and go sliding. I mean, and gone. So when you walk out to get in your car, just do a quick walk around. While you're doing that, check for all the other things. Make sure your tires are still inflated. If you've got time, pull out a little handheld pressure gauge. You know, it could be analog, it could be digital. Take off the tire cap, check tire pressure. Make sure that you check it monthly. And also before long trips to make sure that you can still have tires at the correct pressure so that you have proper handling and fuel efficiency. A lot of people don't understand that is even if the tires get low or get high, it will, or in terms of pressure, it will affect your fuel efficiency. It will.
It also has to do with, not so much for just general maintenance, but the, you know, how your vehicle handles.
Yes.
So, you know, guys that do off-roading a lot, they'll want lower pressure so they have more tread, you know, more mm-hmm. surface area as they're going. Doesn't really apply to, you know, the daily driver, but correct. A lot ties into tire pressure for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You're also going to want to check your tread depth. There is a trick with the penny where if you take a penny, hold it upside down, and stick Abe Lincoln's head in between the treads, it should come up to his head while he's upside down. That's how you know, as long as that happens, you still have the proper amount of tread left. If it doesn't, you're getting kind of low. You might want to think about getting new tires. So you're going to want to check this regularly to ensure that you have adequate traction. And along with that, rotating your tires every 6,000 to 8,000 miles will promote even wear on them. So if you have a front-wheel drive car, I mean, obviously the rear wheels aren't going to wear as much, so you can rotate the back. If you don't have radial tires to where, you know, the treads all run the same direction, if you don't have those, you can cross them with the, I'm not going to go into it, but like, there's a lot of ways
for you. The user manual in your glove box is going to tell you how it wants you to rotate your tires.
Correct. Let's see here. As far as rotating tires, so when you rotate your tires, rotate them every 6,000 to 8,000 miles, and this interval usually aligns with your oil changes. So that'll be convenient for you, and that way you can have both tasks handled at the same time. Rotating your tires promotes even tire wear. It allows for improved performance and handling. It extends your tire life. It maintains your warranty coverage, because sometimes if you don't rotate your tires and something happens, they will void your warranty. It sounds stupid, but I know it's happened. Trust me. When I worked for Ford, I've had people come in and complain about that. That was fun talking to mechanics later. Like, yeah, what an idiot. All right. And last but not least, rotating your tires maintains fuel economy, because Lord only knows if you're going from like 38 miles to the gallon down to like 20, it could be your tires. It could be your engine. The math is not mathing. Start doing maintenance.
Battery. Inspect your battery for corrosion to ensure that, and ensure the timber rolls are clean and tight. They won't be clean.
They won't.
I promise you. They will have a bunch of powdery white build up there.
Which you should
brush off with a wire brush or use Coca-Cola.
I was going to say that. Pro tip, if you have corrosion, pour Coca-Cola on it. It will eat and that crap away immediately.
And
watch
the battery acid build up, melt away, and then think, oh man, I used to drink this.
And yeah. What's that doing to my insides? I don't know, but it tastes delicious. Inside?
I don't know, but I don't listen to my teeth. I'm a master. Be healthy. I've never done that anyways. Test your battery's charge, especially before winter. I'm going to throw on another bullet point. Get a battery charger.
A battery maintainer. Yes.
Do it right now, please. They're like less than $100 at Walmart, and it'll save you. It'll save your butt. Also, if you don't have jumper cables, get those. You're an adult. You have a vehicle. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But yeah, your battery. If you don't have a charge, your battery's not gonna, or your, you know, car's not gonna start. So kind of important.
So now, if you think you're having an issue with your battery, take it to AutoZone or Advanced Auto Parts. They'll test it for free.
Or O'Reilly's. Any of those places. Yeah, whatever is native to your area.
And if you get a check engine light come on, take it there anyway. They'll code it for free and tell you what's wrong with it.
Oh, yeah, dude, absolutely.
They'll tell you exactly what code, and they can probably tell you exactly what parts to get.
And how to they'll change. They'll give you a printout of everything they recommend. It'll be awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Battery, make sure everything is, you know, down and tight, you know, clean. That could be part of the issue. The location of battery is going to vary, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. More often than not, it's going to be the very front, you know, on either corner. But I have helped a buddy whose battery was literally underneath the engine, and we could not reach it. Because it was a newer model of vehicle.
What make?
It was like a Chevy, I think.
That's why.
It was.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, that poor guy. But went, Barry, and we popped the hood, and I was like, okay, but where's the battery? And it was literally underneath everything. I'm like, wow, that's not helpful at all.
This podcast is sponsored by Blackbeard Firestarter. Blackbeard Firestarter has been our first choice in Firestarter since they introduced their Firestarter rope years ago.
Blackbeard offers their Firestarters, their fire plugs, arc lighters, ferro rods, stormproof matches, everything you need to get a fire started.
Their products are made right here in the U.S. Wind and waterproof, have an insane burn time. They're basically dummy proof.
And help you out, Blackbeard let us cherry pick from their store everything that we want, everything that we thought you needed to get a fire started, and we call it our Hard Time Strong Men Fire Kit. On top of that, they're also offering a 15% discount on anything in their store when you enter code STRONGMEN at checkout.
We can't recommend Blackbeard enough. They stand behind their products, and so do we.
Be sure to check them out at blackbeardfire.com and on Instagram at blackbeardfire.
And now a word from our newest sponsor, Granite Rifle Group. Granite Rifle Group is a precision rifle company owned and operated by a USMC veteran. You've probably heard him on our show.
Granite offers turnkey rifle solutions built around your field use with plug-and-play upgrades available to tailor your rifle for your specific needs. GRG offers simple rifle kits or complete custom builds available to suit every need, from the weekend target shooter or hunter to the long-range precision rifleman.
Granite Rifle Group is all about putting high-quality precision rifles into the hands of Americans to extend the reach of the American rifleman. And when you use the code STRONGMEN at checkout, you'll get 6.9% off your order. Nice.
Nice. Check them out at graniterifelegroup.com or find them on Instagram at granite_rifle_group_LLC. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.
Yeah, clean and tight. Make sure you have a charger. Make sure you have jumper cables. That's about it.
Okay.
You're gonna know if you have a. You're gonna know if you have a battery problem because either A, it's not gonna start, or you're gonna start and your lights gonna go woo 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 woo, and it's gonna fluctuate. Yeah. Which is not great.
Option two, option B, when it comes to your car not starting, is it's the starter, which is another monster in and of itself. I mean, honestly, it's a cheap. It's not a cheap, but it's an easy part to replace.
It's a relatively cheap part to replace as far as parts.
As long as you know what you're doing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. As long as where you can source it, you're fine.
Yeah.
Ugh, the lights. So part of this is easy and part of it's not. Inspect your headlights. Inspect your brake lights. Inspect your turn signals. Keep in mind when you're inspecting your turn signals, there's two at the front, two at the back. Along with headlights, test your brights. So it's very easy by yourself to test your.
Sorry, your brights and your headlights are different.
They are. They're two different.
If you ever go to replace them. Mm-hmm. So make sure you're tracking that because that can be an embarrassing thing to run into.
Yeah. So inspecting your headlights and brights are fairly easy. I mean, you just turn them on, get out of the car, go front and look. Same with the brights. Toggle them on. Go check them. The hard part's the brake lights. My pro tip, get something heavy. Set it on a brake pedal while your car's in park. Get out. Go look. So you have your normal brake lights and you have your third brake light. Don't forget about that thing. Some cars don't have it, but most will.
I was going to say, you could also back up to something like a wall
and then brake. And you'll be able to see the pressure off it. Not 100% but effective, because you could have some splash over from the other side. But
and more often than not, if you have brakes, let me retake that. And more often than not, your brakes lights, each individual one is going to have individual bulbs in them. So if one's burnt out and you try that method, you're not going to be able to see which one it is.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because on my Cobra, each light, each brake light on each side had three bulbs. And then the third brake light also had three. So.
That's a lot. Yeah. Also wanted to throw on here, interior lights and fuses.
Correct. I wasn't going to mention fuses because that's an entirely different monster.
Yeah. The
fuses. Dude, old school fuse boxes had a crap ton on them, and I haven't looked at a newer model one, but I'm assuming with all the systems that are in there, it's probably more than double the fuses that are in there, and they all require specifically different ones.
I remember like opening up my fuse and seeing like 15 or 20. I was like, but why?
Right.
Like, but now with the computers and everything, like the crazy dashes that they're coming up with, like I can't even. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to think about it. That's got to be nuts.
One of the painful parts too is if you have an issue with, say, your not your odometer. Well, I guess, yeah, the speedometer, the odometer, that entire setup, if there's one part that's a problem with that, you're going to have to replace the whole thing.
Although, yeah, the whole thing doesn't matter. Thing.
Yes. I discovered that the hard way with a customer.
Well, the credit card is, especially with the dash, if you're taking apart the dash, like that thing can break.
Oh, yes.
If you are not careful. I broke the not the faceplate, but the first plate just over the, you know, the little dip of the dash on my old Toyota. Snapped it right in half. It's like, well, that's great. Just pulled in the wrong spot and you're screwed.
Yeah.
But I have to buy a whole new part because there's no way you're, yeah, I mean, it's plastic. There's no fix for that.
Painful part too is a lot of these pieces that snap onto like the shells of things, say like your door frame, the actual door shell. Say you take a trim piece and you're trying to pull it off and the little plastic clip breaks.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot buy those individual clips. You have to
just gonna buy have that little flex. The
whole thing.
If you don't, you have that little flex forever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Miserable.
So my pro tip, when you're dealing with stuff where you can actually access those tabs, use a socket. I can't remember exactly which one, but use a socket to push on there and it will push the tabs in and you can just pull them out without.
That's a good tip.
I need to figure out which one so I can tell people, but I cannot remember which one they are. So, yeah, to finish up lights, now that we've gotten on our tangent, when you see that a bulb's out, go ahead and replace it. Keep in mind also that there are running lights, there are parking lights, there are interior lights. Yeah, I think that's all the extra lights aside from what we already mentioned. But each of these have bulbs, and each of these bulbs can burn out. Sometimes they're a pain to replace. Just depends on the car.
Check out your wiring diagram. Cut all interior and exterior lights. Install infrared lights. So you drive around with nods. And no one can tell you no.
Jesus. Just make the car black out.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Just black it out.
Just black it out.
Become ungovernable. Oil and filter changes. So, check the oil level monthly and change it every 5 to 7,500 miles, depending on the type of oil used. Also, replace the oil filter during each oil change.
I feel like we haven't, we shouldn't have to mention that, but for those that haven't ever changed their oil, yes, you have to change the oil filter every time you do an oil change. You have to. This is the way.
I feel like that's the point.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to. Plain and simple. Otherwise, you're not going to get all the oil out anyway. You can pull that. You can pull.
Dude, so much.
The drain plug. But unless you pull the filter off as well, you're not going to get all the oil. And besides, that filter still needs to be replaced.
Right.
Air filters. So you have. You have your cabin air filter. You have your engine air filter. You're going to want to check both those and replace them as needed. Engine air filter, usually annually. And you do this to ensure that the engine is going to keep getting clean air so that your combustion ratio maintains the right, or so that your engine combustion can maintain the right mixture of air and fuel. Some signs that you need to replace either your cabin air filter or your engine air filter is, for the cabin air filter, you're going to get reduced airflow from the vents. You're going to get some unpleasant odors. There's going to be more dust inside your vehicle.
Oh, I'm starting to get allergies. That's so weird this time of year.
Exactly. Exactly. Check. Keep an eye. If you're getting like allergies out the butt, you're probably going to need to change that cabin air filter.
Like the air filter in your house and your car.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So for the engine air filter, you're going to get reduced engine performance. You're going to get decreased fuel economy. You might even get your engine or your check engine light tripped, and you'll probably hear some unusual engine sounds. And they're with either filter, if you pull it out and you look at it and there's dirt on it, probably need to replace it.
I was going to say, so whenever you go through those drive-through places, they're probably going to try to sell you on getting a new air filter. This is as needed. You do not need to do every time you need an oil change.
Correct. So, if they pull it out and they show it to you and it's dirty as crap, just go ahead and replace it.
Just do it. But if they pull it out and it's white as snow, you're probably okay. You know, use some critical thinking there.
And if they pull it out, or if they don't even show you it, but they say, hey, it's dirty, I want you to sell you this. Try to think back to the last time you had it done. If it hasn't been a year, if it hasn't even been 9 months, tell them to get bent. Tell them I said to get bent.
Brake pads and rotors. So brake pads should be replaced when the friction material is worn down to about 3 to 4 millimeters. This is when you go to the mechanic and he says, hey, and he pulls it up and it's like, you see there's nothing here, right? That's when you have to change your brake pads.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of important. Many brake pads come with built-in wear indicators that will make a squealing sound when the pads are getting thin, signaling it's time to replace it. Check your rotor thickness and routine brake inspections are probably a good idea if you like being able to stop.
Also along those lines, like if there's a lot of give when you're pushing on the brake pedal, chances are that's either a fluid problem or your brake pads are shot. And if you're getting a grinding sound when you try to brake, yeah, it's time for a brake job. Guaranteed. Yep. Also, if you're not braking,
your car shouldn't growl at you.
Yeah. If you're pushing the brakes and you're not slowing down, it's time to get your brakes fixed.
If your brakes aren't braking, change your brakes.
The math's not mathing. Ugh. All right. Belts and hoses. Belt and hose inspections. So you've got serpentine belts, you've got timing belts, you've got dude, there's so many belts. It's kind of insane. I almost don't even want to touch the timing belts and all the other things. It's the serpentine belt's the easiest one to locate and take a look at. But regardless, any of your belts and hoses that you can see and get to, check them. You're going to check for cracks. You're going to check for fraying. With your belts, if you're hearing squealing noises, chirping, So with chirping, there's probably moisture somewhere on the ribbed side of the belt, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It can cause skipping. It can, which is bad. Well, I mean, it's not bad, but it's not good. But squealing noises, for sure. Get it looked at, or just replace it. Hands down. You're going to want to look for glazing. And on hoses, you're going to want to look for leaks. They're pretty easy to find. You're going to see some kind of fluid in the engine bay, dripping on the ground, sprayed up on the underside of the hood, on other parts. It's pretty obvious when you've got a leak. It just is. I mean, for a coolant leak, chances are your temperature gauge is going to go just wild. Absolutely wild. Your engine may even overheat. There could be steam, whatever.
Not great things.
No, not great things at all.
Spark plugs.
Yay.
Depends on the type of plug you have. So there's standard copper, platinum, and double platinum, iridium. These are going to get you varying distances. So standard copper, you're looking at 20 to 30,000 miles. Platinum and double platinum, between 60 and 100,000. And iridium, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, 100,000 plus miles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
the long haul.
Yeah. Spark plugs, I've always thought it was actually kind of a pain to do spark plugs. Because
I hate them, honestly.
There's that tool for spark plugs. It's like a socket, but it has that rubber piece on the inside to help you like pull them out. Problem is getting them back in. My trick was always I'd leave the rubber part in there to pull them out, but putting the new spark plugs in there, I would just drop the spark plug in, pull that rubber piece out, go back in there with the socket and tighten it in. I don't know how many spark plugs I probably damaged that way, but.
So my trick is I would put in, if I had trouble, I would brandish a hammer over, the whole assembly, and that would scare the engine into letting me do what I need to do. Most of the time.
Anyway, the problem with that rubber piece is if you screw in the replacement spark plug with that thing in, and you then go to try and pull out the socket, it's still got a grip on that spark plug, so chances are it's going to pull that socket off of whatever extension you have going to it. And that's why I always pull, which is freaking great. Which is why I always pull out the rubber piece when I'm installing them. That brings us to our seasonal maintenance.
Winter.
Yeah. Winter.
Check your antifreeze.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Once again, the whole freezing thing is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
When you're trying to get somewhere and not freeze to death.
By the way, antifreeze goes in the radiator. It doesn't go in your windshield wiper fluid.
Please don't put it in your windshield wiper reservoir. Holy crap.
Don't do that.
Goodness sakes. Yeah, not that.
No.
Inspect your wiper blades. So this one is great, especially when you're dealing with, like freezing rain, hail,
ice built up,
ice, yeah, all that stuff. You absolutely need effective windshield wiper blades. And that's easy enough. Your user manual will have what windshield wiper blades you need. Also a good idea just to keep the, keep the either the receipt or the container that your last wiper blades came out of, so you can just quick reference that. They should also have like a book or like on, I don't know what it is, right next to the, all the individual containers will have what makes and models they work for. So
right,
easy enough. Just cross reference what you need,
buy what you need, and should be easy enough to put on, if not, YouTube Academy.
Yep. And you're right. Auto parts stores will have those books. So they have those books for windshield wipers, oil filters. And sometimes they have it for the oil too. It just kind of depends.
They have that for lights as well.
Yep, they have it for lights as well. Thank you.
Installing winter tires, if necessary.
Yep. And chains. This can also
have chains. Yeah,
chains. I was going to say, this also involves chains. Sometimes winter tires will have studs in them. If you live in the Great White North or Alaska, you will know what studded tires are.
I was going to say, a lot of the more southern states, not legal, but...
Nope. It will tear the road up.
Yeah. But there's an absolute 9-day difference.
Oh, yes.
Driving in the crap.
Yeah.
But also has to do with your tire tread. So this is why we're talking about, you know, inspecting your tires. If you don't have good tread, it's not going to serve you well when you get into crappy weather conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Really going to be feeling it. And then just knowing how to put on tire chains is...
Never...
Huge.
I've never done that. I've never owned tire chains.
I've never had to do it, but I know how to do it.
It seems simple enough. You just lay them down, drive up over them, and then just like allow it to come up over the tire, and then you just attach them together, I guess, right?
I've never been surprised at how people can screw something easy up.
Yeah.
So
I guess if you've never done it, it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah. Hmm. Summer. So,
yeah,
get your AC checked. If you're in Arizona, you could die. So,
keep in that Florida or Texas, you could die.
I was going to say, oh my God, did I tell you about that? So, back in 2022, me and the fam went out to visit family in Oregon in June.
Mm-hmm.
Went down there just fine. Coming up. Stopped in Cali right before we hit the Mojave, and AC went out. About 40 minutes into driving into the Mojave, and it's like, okay. Turned us around. Stopped at a hotel.
Windows down.
And this was, what, Memorial Day weekend or something like that? Labor Day weekend? So nowhere was open. I'm like, I need to get my family home. And I can't fix my AC. I already tried, you know, revamping it, you know, like recharging and everything. Nothing worked. I was like, well, this sucks. So yeah, we had to drive.
34.
Yeah. So for the next 2 days, my family drove at night. Drove at night through Mojave, through Nevada, whole deal, till we got home at like 4 or 5 in the morning, right as the sun was coming up. And I was like, that sucked. I don't ever want to do that again.
That's terrible.
So yeah, make sure your AC works.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into it. So
yeah, if your AC is blasting hot air, you may need to recharge it. You can, there's a simple bottle of, R134. You can get it like something Walmart like or any auto parts store, and you hook it up to
two or three brands. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of little nipples you hook it up to, and then
you recharge it. It could be a compressor. It could be a belt. It could be so many things.
It could be so many things. It's not even worth digging into right now since we're doing the basics, but that could be what it is. And
that, as always, checking Tommy off your fluids.
Yep.
After winter.
Oh, that leads us to the DIY versus professional help thing. So this, like we've said in so many other aspects, is if you feel comfortable doing it, do it. If you don't, have someone else do it for you or learn how to do it. So you may be comfortable changing your oil, but you may not be comfortable with rotating tires or dealing with electrical stuff. If you've learned how to do this on your own, or you've gone to the YouTube Academy, or you've had someone else show you how to do it, great. maintain your proficiency with it, because these are perishable skills.
Absolutely. And it's going to change between vehicles.
Right.
You know, they're not the bare bones basic stuff, not the fundamental stuff, but the nuances are definitely going to change.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean,
you know, like you said, YouTube Academy, make some buddies. My buddy Jay, he knows freaking everything. He's a awesome resource. And, you know, don't be afraid, one, to be teachable, and two, to actually get in there and get your hands dirty. You know, there's so many things with vehicles that, you know, you could, you know, like sabotage yourself and like not want to start just because it's a lot. But until you know, get up in there, open the hood and start working on stuff, you're not going to know if you can actually do anything. You're going to be too afraid to do anything with your vehicle, which you should be, you know, comfortable with your vehicle. It's yours.
Right.
It's a machine. You know, it is possible for you to learn this skill. You just have to, you know, put in the work to do it.
Right. And there's also a lot of things where you will, it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. You're not going to have the equipment available or the space available to do them.
Or the money or the wherewithal. I mean, there are priorities, and, you know, just because you can tear apart an engine and put it back together, figure out everything that's wrong with your vehicle, if you've got a wife, two kids, a job, a side gig, and something else, it might not be all that high on your priorities list, and you can put it over to a shop.
Yeah. I mean, you may be the smartest guy in the world. You may be able to do everything on your car short of, I don't know, complete total teardown, but you may not have the equipment available to, say, remove a trash tire from a rim and install a new one, because that does take a specialized piece of equipment, just like it takes a specialized piece of equipment to then balance said tire on the rim. Because if you've ever been driving down the road and one of your wheel weights falls off, it ain't a fun experience. That I can tell you for a fact.
Or memory unlocked.
Yeah. Absolutely terrifying when those things falls off. Feels like the whole car's going to shake apart. So, and guys, this has been basic car maintenance. We've run through the routine checks. We've run through the scheduled maintenance. We've run through seasonal maintenance. We shouldn't have to tell you why it's important, because I mean, if you've ever had your car break down, or you know someone who's had their car break down, it's a very important thing. You know, vehicles, despite everything that you may learn, vehicles are a necessity when it comes to getting from point A to point B. If you can't walk it, if you can't bike it, mm-hmm. It's going to happen, especially if you have to transport things. Cars, trucks, SUVs.
It's incredible. You can do so much more with it. And also,
yes,
it's, you know, even if you have all the resources in the world, you have, you know, 20 people lined up, you know, who can help you out, it's something that's so good to be able to do yourself. You know, you should be striving for independence in this way.
As many times as I've gone into performing maintenance on a vehicle and come out just like wanting to put my socket through a wall, or, you know, I walk away and I'm bleeding profusely from like a knuckle that I banged on it, something, you know, it's still so rewarding getting done and just being like, yeah, man, I did that. I fixed that. I repaired that. Definitely take the time to learn your vehicle, because out of everyone short of a professional, you alone are going to know when something's wrong with your vehicle. It will talk to you, not literally, but you will pick up on things when there's something wrong. If it feels out of the ordinary, something's either about to happen or it's in the progress of happening. If it's not running normally, that's what you're looking at.
And the more you drive, the more vehicles that you drive, you'll be able to tell that for more and more vehicles. So,
correct.
Not, you know, specifically like mechanical, like repair or maintenance wise,
but you know, when I was driving my, you know, my old pickup truck or my Jeep, you know, I'm comfortable with driving a manual, with driving a stick shift. And mm-hmm. so I don't have to look at the speedometer to, you know when I should shift. I can feel it. I can hear it. You know, I can yeah. hear at what point the specific engine, the RPM is like, hey, you need to shift. And so I can shift. I don't have to think about it. I just, you know, I can hear it. I just do it. So yeah. it'll be the same thing with other things. You'll feel it. You'll hear it. You know, you, like you said, the more you learn, the more you can listen to your vehicle and what it's trying to tell you, and you know, the better off you'll be.
Yeah.
That's all I got, man.
I mean, that's really all I got. Patrons, stay tuned for the after party. Be sure to follow us on Instagram. Check us out on Discord. We're having a lot of fun on there, talking about random things. I think, what was the new thing we started talking about just recently?
So medical.
Medical.
One of our patrons just picked up the Ranger, the Ranger Handbook for Medicine, or the Ranger Medics Handbook? Ranger Medics Handbook.
I think, yes.
And so we were talking about, you know, what herbal, you know, versus, you know, herbal medicines versus, you know, typical broad medicines. So the pros and cons, just different things you should know, different factors along with that. So a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
And especially picking up with that, Body Systems, Where There's No Doctor, another great book. So yeah, a lot of great conversations. Also hit us up on Spotify. You know, there's a really great way for you guys to send comments or ask questions on individual episodes. And that helps us a lot with quality control and just getting a pulse on where you guys are and where you want us to go.
Absolutely. Well, guys, this has been 6 and 7 with the Hard Time Strongman podcast on basic car maintenance. Shout out to my wife. Please start telling me when things are going wrong earlier so I can help you.
If my wife listens to this podcast, don't tell me. I want it to be a surprise.
Living dangerously. I like it. As always, guys, 6 and 7, Hard Time Strongman podcast. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight. Coming from a 320 gunner. Hey guys, this is 6 and 7 with the Hard Time Strongman podcast. Wanted to take a second to do a mental health check-in and to tell y'all about the 988 Crisis Lifeline. So the 988 Lifeline is a national network of local crisis centers that provides free and confidential emotional support to people in suicidal crisis or emotional distress 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the United States. You can reach the Lifeline at 988lifeline.org, or you can call or text 988 to get help, to get someone real on the phone.
Every struggle is different. Every struggle is hard. But you are not alone in whatever you're going through. As someone who has used the 988 crisis line, I fully recommend that if you're feeling any of those feelings of depression, suicide, hopelessness, get in touch with them immediately. They will help you. They will listen to you.
Once again, guys, you can reach the Lifeline at 988lifeline.org, or you can call or text them at 988. As always, guys, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.